Hello, I'm Beth Kesselman, and this is Smashing the Ceiling, a podcast on social hiring and a St. Stephen's Community House production. Thanks for joining us. St. Stephen's Community House acknowledges that our locations are situated upon traditional territories of the Wendat, Anishinaabeg Nation, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nations, and the Métis Nation. The treaty that was signed for this particular parcel of land is collectively referred to as the Toronto Purchase and applies to lands east of Brown's Line to Woodbine Avenue and north towards Newmarket. St. Stephen's Community House is a guest, and we recognize the enduring presence of the Indigenous peoples on this land.
Is critical as well as before they come here, you have also been ensuring that they're developing certain skills. So when they hit our door for the interview, they are likely to be hired.
That is Sheldon Taylor, the executive director of the Dovercourt Boys and Girls Club in Toronto, Ontario. Over many years, St. Stephen's Community House and the Dovercourt Boys and Girls Club have built a truly lovely relationship centered around youth employment. And this month, February 2018, they were the very first recipient of the St. Stephen's Employer Award of Excellence, recognizing them for their socially minded hiring practices and commitment. And so we certainly wanted to connect with them about their experiences with social hiring. My colleague Usna Adami and I had a chance to sit down with Sheldon recently to discuss Dovercourt Boys and Girls as an organization and their hiring experiences.
When we look at social hiring, one of the questions that the first question I'm going to ask you is, in your mind, what is socially minded hiring or hiring with a social eye?
Well, socially minded hiring reflects the type of society we have in Canada. Historically, individuals would go to what was termed Canada manpower, looking for a job. Many of the kids in need of work, young people in need of work, were often shunned from those places because of where they were positioned. And opportunities only came maybe in the summertime for such things as the local initiatives projects and various other summer employment opportunities. In your case, if I can include that as part of the definition, you're community-based. So you have a lay of the land, and you understand basically what's happening within the various demographics and cohorts. And just like us, we respond. We respond primarily because we're an organization serving kids ages 2.5 to 17 years old. And we see both the strengths and weaknesses of community. We see the needs in particular because we interact with families. Therefore, we know very, very clearly that there are economic needs and also economic benefits. So we make sure to fit in with your definition of, the social aspect of hiring, because for us, it's a part of the mission of underscoring the fact that we're supposed to provide a level playing field, whether it's in recreation and other areas, to include the social aspects of hiring.
We'd like a little bit of background on your organization, a little bit of history, your mandate, where your future is.
Of course. We're part of the Boys and Girls Network. Boys and Girls Clubs have been around for the last 100 years. You've got Boys and Girls Clubs in many, many parts of North America. In Canada, there are probably several hundreds of thousands of members. Again, within the 4 to 17, I mentioned 2.5 earlier because we have a daycare. For us here at Dovercourt, the origins of the club on Westmoreland was as a result of individuals responding, coming together and responding to social circumstances. There were gangs in the 50s that provoked a cause for concern. Consequently, individuals who could be considered, quote-unquote, as city fathers of the day, business people and the like, made a determination that there should be a club. And speaking to the period, the climate, it was a boys' club. Later on, it became a boys' and girls' club. We've just celebrated 60 years in existence. We have closer to 40,000 in terms of our alumni base. To be fair, we believe we serve many more kids and support many more families than the metrics would suggest. What we do know is we're extremely impactful and important to the neighborhood, not just because we provide services and programs for children and youth, but also because we have an economic impact. We have a budget of $2.5 million, and if you really think about what that means and what that represents, it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but if you're a kid, 17 or 18, either finishing high school or going to start in college or university, the fact that you can work maybe 12 or 15 hours a week to help support your family or help support yourself, your siblings, it becomes a major, 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 major contribution. So we know we're making contributions. And we have historically, but we've been called on more recently to make more more contributions.
And so where do you see the organization going in the next 5-10 years?
Well, you take, for example, that we have been impacted by the minimum wage. We're now at $14 mm-hmm. minimum for workers over 18, I believe. That tells you in many ways that sort of, those types of economic considerations will in fact continue to transform what we are, and that is a not-for-profit organization, because it starts with the dollar and it ends with the dollar. So the future, and I think it to some degree, it's subtly detailed in our strategic plan. The future for us means that we must remain true to our vision, helping kids and the like, supporting community, supporting families, but at the same time, straddle the line between not-for-profit and a business model. But I can tell you, outside of all of that, we have a second location at 1379 Bloor Street. We're in about 12 to 14 schools. Those numbers will increase because we increase our network. Our programming is no longer just rec-based. There is an academic component to it. So if you went out back, you would see a garden, because sustainability, you've got the economic component, but one of the things that has happened with our society in its transformation in the post-war period, no one wanted to get dirty anymore. So kids were not encouraged to go out back and plant seeds and the like. Well, what we've done is we've said, hey, we want you to go out back and plant seeds. A lot of kids became accustomed to the fact that there was a McDonald's and a KFC. But we said, hey, we're going to put a kitchen in our second floor, and we're going to teach you to cook. so that you could help, especially if you're an older sibling. Mom and dad has to get up early and do whatever. You could be responsible in helping to make your sister or your sisters or your brothers sandwiches, prepare the food. If it's a Saturday morning and they've got to go to the mall, you can get up and help with breakfast. You can help in the evening if somebody's got to go someplace, a parent, an adult, by babysitting. So we teach babysitting. In other words, the organization in terms of its mission is still true to what was very necessary, but it has become more focused on broad-based needs and equipping young people in ways that many of them really didn't experience before. We also have the issue, and this has taken us into the future, academic. This is an area of the city where the EQAO scores, especially for math, you know, the STEM subjects, it's not all that great. So we brought in individuals from the University of Toronto, Science and Medicine, to help us do an analysis of our feeder schools, the kids and the results. Then we set up programming. Homework help. In the summertime, you can come and swim and do whatever else, but you also have an opportunity to do what? You have an opportunity to sit down and enhance your math skills. That's part of where we are now bridging in terms of what we need to do in the future, more so. And as the gaps become more apparent where education is concerned, cursive writing, for example. This kid came to us a couple of years ago and said, I don't know how to write properly, cursive writing. Can you help me? Because my teacher says it's not in the curriculum anymore. It's still subtly in the Ontario curriculum. So we brought someone in to help in that regard. So we try to provide the supports while at the same time having, you know, doing the fun part. And then at Christmas, we have a massive Christmas hamper program where we, this past Christmas, we supported 400 families with over 120 pounds of food. They had better supports at Christmas than I did.
So I hear very resonantly you talking about community and family and relationship. And so when you talk about sort of whether it's you're looking at folks who are working with you who then have families to support, or the configuration that exists in other people who come and take advantage of the programming that you offer. So I wanted to sort of extend that a little bit to ask you how you see that kind of relationship, which is sort of sibling, sort of family, sort of community, between our organizations.
Well, you're speaking about synergy, right? In much the same way that you guys found us, we found you. And it was at a critical moment, I would say, in the sense that we needed to widen our employment, potential employment pool. And, you know, as the young people would say, we hooked up. And in hooking up, look at what has taken place. You have given us an avenue of human resources, but not only have you done that, before they enter our door, of course, we provide the hands-on experience. But what is critical as well is before they come here, you have also been ensuring that they're developing certain skills. So when they hit our door for the interview, they are likely to be hired. And our responsibility is to further develop those individuals. But what is also good in terms of the relationship with St. Stephen's community houses, you don't just leave them on our doorsteps. You continue to monitor, you continue to support, you continue to work with us. So it's a collaborative enterprise. And in being a collaborative enterprise, a young person, 17, 18, 19, 20, who may not have had a network, all those types of supports before, to include the social, finds a new sense of validation. So I think that that is also very important.
And in your experience with the hiring process that through St. Stephen's, what are some of the benefits and challenges that you've experienced, and how did you navigate the challenges, and what are some of the surprise benefits, I should ask?
Well, you're always going to have challenges when you're hiring, when you're selecting from a more youthful, talented pool. Not because the potential isn't there, but life skills and the like, you know, they're just getting started. They have a certain perception of the world. They really don't have all of the necessary practical experiences to navigate what needs to be navigated. And you keep in mind as well, they're also dealing with children at the club who are not that far removed from their age at times. So what you've got to do is to develop an awareness with those individuals, with these young people, you know, our workers that you've selected and brought to us and you continue to support, and find ways to get them to understand not just that they've got a job and either you will pay them or we will pay them or whatever it is, but that they must continue to invest in themselves, so that if your commitment is for a select period of time and we want to continue that relationship, that they understand the importance of sustainability. They must further develop an attractiveness in the workforce and understand as well that work also requires a level of competitiveness. And that is what we have found with the potential workers that you've sent to us. You know, we put them on a learning curve and we observe them very carefully as you do. And I really can't think of too many problems that we've had because of the job that you do.
Thank you. That's good to hear. Of the experiences you've had with the staff, are there any particular success stories that you'd like to share?
Well, in a generic sense, you see, you know, normally you will accompany someone at from your organization will accompany the potential employee for Dovercourt to our location. And I really can't say that initially we see them as bubbly and go-getters per se, because they're young and they're shy and everything else. But over time, you begin to see a level of confidence building on, you know, all of the information that you've given them. We have, for example, a young man who came a couple summers ago, and he was doing janitorial work. And he wasn't plugged into the organization per se. I don't know what his life experience was, but he wanted an opportunity, he wanted a chance. So he started with us in the summer. Then by fall, now we have janitorial staff at night, but we were trying something different. So we needed a success story from him. And he realized how successful he was when he was asked to stay on. But he didn't just stay on. He stayed on in a particular way and became part of the family and could be relied on to do other things. And as well, we live in a society that, you know, ideas are very stratified, status is stratified. We look down on certain professions. But he was very proud of what he was doing. And that was a mark for us that this individual had matured on the job.
And I think also at the same time that the way in which, like you said, the family exists or the environment exists that he, if I can use that adjective, has the opportunity to have pride and, you know, unabashed in a way or unencumbered, to be just proud in whatever it is that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Because the environment allows you that.
Yes, give him license.
Yeah, yes. Agency.
Yes. Yeah. And what was important, well, you know, we understand the importance in Canada of agency, again, because of the stratification, because of jobs and everything else and access. But the fact that he would say to us, please don't tell me thank you for doing my job.
That's lovely.
When you initially started the process of hiring with the use of community service, another community services agency, like, how did you find the process? Obviously, you stuck with it, so it couldn't have been too bad. But your initial experience, what was it like? And any insights you would give to anyone else thinking about giving it a try?
Well, in a lot of ways, our mission isn't all that dissimilar. In a nutshell, both our purposes is to serve the common good, to establish a common weal, to contribute, right? To underscore all we do with that social aspect. And if anything, in terms of really cementing the relationship, it took less time because there was an understanding. Of course, initially we wanted to make sure that it was a right fit. We were good for each other. But I didn't, as the executive director, I must tell you that I signed all the paperwork. And I had absolutely no hesitation in doing so. It was easier and easier with the passage of time, and passage of time meaning not a long duration, but because of your proven track record and what was happening, I thought it was good. And in a lot of ways, if I had any advice to pass on to anyone else wanting to access your services, work with you, is that there is a need for full transparency, and I believe you were more comfortable with us because we were fully transparent. We were very open. We were willing to be patient because we knew at times you were dealing with candidates who had had some challenges. And we were also willing to accept what you were telling us as being truthful. So in the collaboration itself, because there was this openness, a lot of people in the end benefited.
I would just ask, well, I guess I would just ask you if there was anything else that either of you wanted to add, whether it's about the relationship, whether it's about the larger mandate that both of our organizations serve, or just your own sort of personal reflections on what it means to be able to be a part of this kind of relationship.
Well, to be quite honest, if there is anything I would want to say is, because I had the opportunity many, many years ago to work in a summer program and also to do other youth programs where employment was concerned, I believe that you have demonstrated with our support, and we've also been beneficial, that when you give a young person or an individual an opportunity to better his or herself, 90% of the times he or she will do so. And this is important for the policymakers to understand, that organizations like ours in the not-for-profit world need not be shunned, that there are ways for them to continue to work with us as the world around them evolves, changes, as attitudes where taxpayers are concerned harden in particular ways. The social aspect is very, very, very important in terms of how we live, in terms of what true citizenship in a country like Canada really means and represents. And I think that that is what we're doing. We're preparing young people for the types of challenges that citizenship offers in a democracy.
Thank you, and thank you so much for coming on and contributing your time to this project, and I look forward to hopefully many more years of partnering.
You got it.
A huge thanks to Sheldon and the staff of the Dovercourt Boys and Girls Club for coordinating with us and participating in this interview. We look forward to many more years of collaborating through our employment programs and socially minded projects. Next month, we're connecting with the Director of Adult Community Programs at West Neighborhood House, Lambrina Nicolau, to discuss peer work, a major focus of the Peer Pathways Project. Until next time, thank you for joining us for Episode 7 of Smash the Ceiling, and please feel free to connect with us on social media. We're on both Instagram and Twitter, and our handle is @PeerPathwaysTO for both platforms. We hope that you join us again soon. St. Stephen's Community House would like to thank United Way, as well as the Ministry of Advanced Education and Skills Development and Employment Ontario for their continued support with this project. We would also like to acknowledge Monk Turner for allowing us to use Judicious Jude for our music, as well as Satunium for the percussive loop.